Well, we're continuing to look at this idea of the power of a whisper. And this morning we're looking at hearing God and having the guts to respond. And throughout history, God has spoken. For millennia, he has forged our faith by promising parted waters, empowering unlikely leaders, declaring world-changing prophecies, and imparting words of wisdom and hope on those who questioned whether he would really deliver. In short, our God is a communicating God. Always has been and always will be. And if there's one story in Scripture that goes to great lengths to prove that our God is a communicating God, it's the story of Elijah. The prophet described in 1 King as a man who was zealous for God. So this morning we're going to look at Elijah's life and how God communicated to him through various things. This morning we're not going to read the whole Bible passage as such, because this morning we're looking at 1 Kings 18 and 19, and there are quite a lot of verses in that. Basically, it's Elijah's been given a word, a prophecy to share, and it's not well received, and he runs off afraid, and then God comes and speaks to him. But rather than read it, those verses, we've got a word which is like Elijah is talking, and this is him communicating, and Walter's going to share that with us this morning.
Good to hear from God, a word of approval, a word of hope, or a word of encouragement. And even if we don't want to hear it, there are also times when we need a word of warning, a word of discipline, or even a word of rebuke. But for some reason, God remains silent and we are left alone with our thoughts or situation. It's amazing how quickly loneliness can set in, even after the greatest of victories or the closest of encounters with God. There have been times when I've been lifted by God's power only to come crashing back to my reality in the next breath. When that happens, I desperately need to hear from God. One of the highest times of my life came when God spoke to me and I defeated 450 prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. And because of that, the whole nation of Israel proclaimed that the Lord is God. But immediately, Queen Jezebel threatened my life and I was on the run. How could this happen? Wasn't I faithful to God's call? Didn't I achieve a great victory in his name? Why was I now so all alone? I couldn't take it anymore. I was ready to give up and die. I needed an explanation and I needed to hear from God. An angel of the Lord came to me and sent me on a 40-day journey to Mount Sinai, where I spent the night in a cave. It was there that God spoke and told me to go out and stand before him on the mountain. I was about to experience God Almighty firsthand. As I stood at the mouth of the cave, a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. I hung on with all my strength as the wind blasted the mountain, tearing rocks loose. I was in awe of the power, but God was not in the wind. Just as I was recovering, a great earthquake shook the entire mountain. Again, rocks crashed around me, and I thought I might be buried under the deluge. But God was not in the earthquake. Once the ground stopped shaking, a great fire consumed all that was left around me. The heat was so great, I thought I would erupt into flames myself. But God was not in the fire. Three awesome displays of power, and God was not there. Could I even hope to stand in the presence of such a powerful God? Then I received the greatest surprise, a gentle whisper. Perhaps it was there all along, but I was too distracted by the mighty display around me to hear. But God had my attention now, and he continued to surprise me. I was not all alone, as I had feared. But there were 7,000 others who had not bowed to Baal, waiting for me in Israel. When I needed him most, God spoke to me, a word of approval, a word of hope, a word of encouragement. There are many times in life when it would be good to hear from God, but it's up to us to block out the distractions and listen for the gentle whisper.
I wonder how often that happens to us, to distractions of the world, and we miss a gentle whisper of God. So Elijah is who we're looking at today. Now, who knows what Elijah is most famous for? Mount Carmel? What's he most famous for? Or what didn't he do that we're all likely to do? He didn't die. He got taken up to heaven. He got taken up in a whirlwind up to heaven to be with God. So it's an interesting thing we read about his life in 2 Kings. Well, that's not the reason I like him. What I like about him, what I like about the story of Elijah is I like the things that he did wrong. And when I wrote that line, I left it there. And then I, just this morning when I was reading over my sermon again, I think I made a mistake when I said that I like the things that he did wrong. Because I don't think wrong is the right word. You see, because what I really think I like about him is that I like that he struggled with things. And he didn't always get things perfect. When we read his story, he had human struggles that all of us have as a follower of God. The things he struggled with, I was reflecting this morning, are not necessarily wrong. And I think sometimes, and even when I was thinking about it, we can put that in the category as, oh no, he did something wrong. But I think maybe, wrong was the wrong word. What we see in Elijah is that he struggled with things that we all struggle with, including myself. We see that he made mistakes and he wasn't perfect. Even his relationship with God, he didn't always get things right. And that doesn't necessarily mean that he was wrong. We see in his life that he heard from God. We see in life that he had boldness to follow the call of God. We see in his life that he questioned and even complained to God. Can you relate? Have you ever heard from God? Have you ever had boldness to follow God? Have you ever questioned or complained to God? What we also see in his story is that he was also afraid. And he ran away in fear. And in doing so, he ended up isolated and alone in a cave. Have you ever had fear? We might not run off to a cage, but perhaps in fear we run away from God in other ways. Perhaps in fear we isolate ourselves physically or mentally. Perhaps out of fear we withdraw from those around us. And that's part of the reason I don't think the word wrong is the right word to use. Because sometimes we need to withdraw. Sometimes we need to take time away to collect our thoughts. Sometimes we need to face what we're struggling with. and what we're struggling with, what we're running away from, running away in fear from, is not necessarily the wrong thing to do. And while others might write us off, or others might have said that Elijah was too far gone to even care about, we see that God came near and changed everything. We can find encouragement in the fact that not only did God come near to Elijah when he still, we can find encouragement in the fact that not only did God come near to Elijah, God still comes near to us. In the good times when our relationship with him is good, we can easily sense that God is near. But even in the times when our relationship with God isn't as good as it could be, God doesn't give up on us. He continues to remain close. He continues to pour out his goodness into our lives, and he continues to speak to us. Sometimes God speaks to us with a loud roar, and other times it's with a gentle whisper. And although God's whispers are not always gentle, they are always for our good. So what is God saying to you? What is God saying to us in this season? Don't be afraid to hear and follow the voice of God. Don't be afraid to follow the divine promptings that spur us to action. These divine promptings are some of the most important words you will ever hear. Maybe you can remember a time when God prompted you. Perhaps that prompting was to write a letter to someone, a word of encouragement. Perhaps that prompting was to call someone instead of texting them. Perhaps that prompting was to avoid a particular way home. Maybe it was to give someone a go. Perhaps that prompting was to engage someone you wouldn't normally engage with. Perhaps it was an urge deep within to stop and pray. Sometimes the whispers of God are fairly involved, and sometimes they can be short and sweet. Maybe all we needed at that time was a simple one word, go or stop. Perhaps you've heard a gentle stirring deep within. Perhaps it was like an earthquake going off inside of you. Although God's whispers are not always gentle, they are always for our good. These whispers might be words of assurance. They might be a word of caution. They might be a word of correction. But they will also be a word of action. A word of assurance can mean so much. In 1 Kings 19:3, we read, Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. He needed a word of assurance. Now, at various times throughout our kids' lives, they've been afraid of the dark. When they were younger, not nowadays, Emma, isn't that right? We're not afraid of the dark anymore. No, we're much bigger now. I say we as well. We're much bigger now, although I can't watch scary shows at night. We're much bigger now. Although there was a little fright last night at home, wasn't there? Someone tapped on the window after watching a scary show. Don't know who that was. That was fun. When our kids were younger, they would get afraid. They'd get afraid of the monster in the cupboard. Have you had a kid like that? Afraid of the monster in the cupboard? Or maybe, and they were also afraid of the dark. And when that happened, they needed a word of encouragement. Words of encouragement like, it's okay, the monster has already eaten. It's okay, the monster only eats vegetables. Perhaps these were not the kind words of encouragement and assurance and comfort that they needed. You know, when our kids are afraid of that monster in the cupboard, out of love, we provide assurance to them that that monster isn't real, don't we? We open the cupboard, we look under the bed, we turn on the lights, we shine a torch, we show them that this monster isn't real. When they're afraid of the dark, we turn a light on. We provide comfort and reassurance to them. We provide comfort and assurance that everything is going to be okay. And God does the same for us. If we're afraid, we can listen to his gentle whispers of assurance. Throughout Scripture, we have passages like this. In Jeremiah 31, the Lord said, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn close to you with unfailing kindness. Matthew 11, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Matthew 28, I will always be with you. Isaiah 41, fear not, for I am with you. That could turn into a song perhaps or a chorus. Fear not, for I am always with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. When we're afraid, God offers words of assurance and comfort to us. God says to us, I love you. I'm with you. I'll never leave you. I understand you. I will strengthen you. I will help you. Fear not, for I am with you. This morning we sang, It Is Well, and we were reminded, though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and shed his own blood for my soul. When we're afraid, when trials of life seem to overwhelm us, we can have confidence knowing that God loves us so much that he sent Christ to set us free, to pay the ultimate price for us. And if he's willing to do that for us, we can have confidence knowing that he continues to watch over us and care for us even today. Assurance is simply God saying, I'm here. And us responding, I know, thank you. For Elijah, this assurance came not with a word of encouragement, but in the provision of God. When he was at his lowest, he cried out to God that he had had enough and couldn't carry on. In 1 Kings 19:6, just after he cried out and complained to God that he'd had enough, it says that an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. He looked around, and there by his head was some baked bread over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and laid down again. God provided for him and gave him assurance that it would be okay. When we're afraid, when the trials of life seem to overwhelm us, assurance is simply God saying, I'm here, I've got this. And us responding, I know, thank you. In John 14, we're reminded that God the Holy Spirit is always with us. It says in John 14, 16, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, and he will be with you forever. But maybe there's sometimes that we wish that God wasn't there with us. Did you catch what I said? Test of our listening skills. Perhaps there's sometimes we wish that God wasn't there with us. Perhaps because there's some sort of shame or embarrassment or sin or something that we've done that we're embarrassed of. And we don't want God looking at us. We don't want God seeing what we've done. It's harder sometimes to take criticism and correction from someone close to you. But isn't that where it ought to come from? Is the Lord whispering to you, to us today, a word of caution, a word of correction? The people I respect most in my life are the ones that have held me to account, to the highest standards, trusting that I could be more than what I seem that I'm capable of in that moment. We need to be able to tell one another when we're wrong or out of line. Just as easily as we're told how wonderful and good, kind and faithful we are. For Elijah, he was challenged by God in the cave when God said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" In other words, why are you running away? Why are you trying to hide from me? Why are you ashamed of me? And how did God respond? He reminded him of his love. He reminded him that he was close, and he reminded Elijah what he was called to do. In Scripture, we're reminded that it's okay to correct people. Blessed is the one who God corrects. So do not despise the discipline of the Almighty. In Proverbs, in various verses in Proverbs 15, we read, "Whoever heeds correction shows prudence. He who hates correction will die. He who ignores discipline despises himself, but whoever heeds correction gains understanding." And in the New Testament in James, For one of you should wander from the truth, and someone should bring him back. Remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. The irritating thing about correction is it often comes in a whisper through God's appointed messenger. And it's often those people that we don't want to hear from. Will you dare to listen to God's correcting voice today? And will you do it without struggling or fighting back or making excuses, responding in pride when a moment of humility is needed? In Elijah's story, we see that God reassured him that everything would be okay. We saw God come near to him and correct him and say, "Hey, what are you doing?" But we also saw one more thing. In 1 Kings 19, verse 15, God says to him, "Go back the way you came." God gave him a call to action. The words of assurance and correction would mean nothing if he didn't also heed the word of action. Have you ever been talking to someone or a group of people and thought to yourself, or perhaps it's been said to you, you're wasting your breath. The truth is, we're wasting our breath if we're speaking, but what we are saying is being ignored or having no effect. We're wasting our breath if what we're saying isn't being heard. It's not a nice feeling when we're being ignored, is it? But more devastating is thinking, perhaps is God wasting his breath on us? Are we ignoring what he has to say to us? You might remember the story of Jesus' transfiguration in the New Testament. Peter, James and John had gone up to this mountain, and while they were there, Jesus' clothes shone bright like the sun, and they're just sitting up there, you know, in awe of what's going on, and then all of a sudden Moses and Elijah appear on the mountain as well. And they heard the voice of God calling out, "My son, this is my son whom I am well pleased with." You might remember that passage. But that verse doesn't end there. Often we look at that passage and we can remember the line of God calling out, "This is my son whom I love and whom I am well pleased." But there's a little bit of that line that carries on after that. You see, in Matthew 17, it says, "A bright cloud came over them, and the voice from the cloud said, 'This is my son whom I love, whom I'm well pleased.'" But then it says, "Listen to him." We often miss that part, don't we? Listen to him. How well are we listening to God? Because listening also means following what he is calling us to do. If we listen and ignore what he is saying, calling us to do, we're not really listening, are we? How well are we listening to God and following what he calls us to do? Well, this series we're looking at is based on the book, The Power of a Whisper, by Bill Hybels, and he says this in the book. "The goal of the Christ-following life is to grow to the point where we live in God's reality, that he loves, that we love like he loves, we serve like he serves, we give like he gives, we show compassion like he shows it." But more than that, it's a way of life that we maintain constantly. And we do this by hearing from heaven on a regular basis. We take to heart the stories that we've heard. We tell God that we want to live wide open to his whispers of assurance. We tell God we want to live wide open to his words of correction and his promptings to take kingdom-building action in the world. And when we do, Bill Hybels says this, "I promise that God will deliver on his commitment to guide your every step." The goal of the Christ-following life is to grow to the point we live in God's reality. We love like he loves, serve like he loves, we give like he loves, and we show compassion like he does. Take to heart the stories we have heard. Well, it's time for me to sit down and for us to respond to God's whispers. What whisper of assurance is he asking you to believe in? What whisper of correction is he asking you to heed? And what whisper of action is he waiting for you to act on? allow the God of creation to speak to you this morning. Because when God speaks, not a single syllable is wasted on us. God of the promise, you don't speak in vain. No syllable empty or void. For once you have spoken, all nature and science, us included, follow the sound of your voice. And as you speak, 100 billion creatures catch your breath, evolving in pursuit of what you've said. God of the promise, speak to us today. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that you are still speaking to us. Lord, whether it's a word of assurance, whether it's one of those difficult words of correction that we need, perhaps it's a word of caution. But Lord, we also know that it's a word of action. So Lord, help us to listen and not ignore what's been said to us. Lord, whether it's a gentle whisper or a roaring earthquake that we need to hear, speak clearly to us, we pray, in your name. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May you open our ears to hear his voice, our hearts to receive his guidance, and our minds to understand his will. May we be attentive to his whispers and obedient to his call. Go in peace, listening for his presence in all that we do. And may his voice lead us in paths of righteousness and joy. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.